The A-team back together in the one room. The more affable everyday man, Hummer, is back in the studio. Gentlemen, dressed in black today because, well, it's dark times at the moment. Dan, the man's about to plunge us into another seven days lockdown. For the next 45 minutes, I say this. Put us in your ears. Have a smile. Worry about lockdown at the end of the show.
Put us in your ears, eh?
Put us in your ears.
What I love, about our man over here, just before you've gone into your spiel there, he's actually complaining about the fact that he doesn't get a lot of feedback. So in our era,
In football, you got feedback every day.
But then in media, you don't get a lot of feedback. So Triple M, 3RW, Channel 7, Channel 9, there's no feedback.
Don't ever pull
you. The only feedback you probably get is the Twitter. Day they go, well, we're actually not going forward with you anymore. But he doesn't get feedback. So I'm happy to give him some feedback. I thought that the Olympics, when I watched the Olympics, you would have been great at the hurdles because you've got those big strides, you've got those big legs, you're fast. Your timing when you jumped at the football when you played AFL was impeccable. You had beautiful timing. The only problem you might have
going to be funny or not
with the hurdles is if your bottom lip had dropped down and just hit the hurdle on the way through as your legs got over, because they're too big, your lips, for your face, mate.
Yeah, well, they're going to get
bigger. There's the feedback you need.
As your face drops, my lips are just going to drop more.
Imagine you when you're 70. you look like a big, like puffer fish.
Hey, speaking of feedback, and I always speak very glowingly of you, I did notice the other night that it was you and Justin Lepich.
And Lepo.
Together, was there sort of any animosity between the two of you because you think that perhaps he might be given your job next year?
No.
Are you concerned?
No, I enjoyed working with Lepper.
But is there a little bit part of you that when he stumbles up, just go, ooh.
You know what I have noticed, though, this year just on Channel 7 is every few weeks there's been another new face appearing, Lepper. We've had Chris Johnson started appearing, and I'm just starting to worry. I've got one more year in a contract. So.
Oh, yeah? When will you start the gears turning?
I'll start looking for a new job about this time next year, I'd say.
Hey, Brownie, often on this show, because you are a parent of four kids, means four kids, you have to upgrade. You can't have the normal car. You've got to get the Kia Carnivale with the extra seat. You give us some lessons, and last time you gave some lessons about Jude.
Parenting lessons, because
Jude sucked up after he had the chance to make $100 to jump in the water. Yep. He didn't do it, and then he regretted it, and you gave him a lesson about courage.
Yep.
But you've had to give another lesson to the girls this week.
The one thing I don't like is sooking. I hate sooking, Matt.
So I'm going to take this on board. I've got two young girls, 4 and 1, and all that I hear all day long is one of them is crying at every minute of the day.
Yep.
So while one of them's not crying, the other one is. And then if they're not, my wife is. So I'm going to listen to this.
So we go down the park most days, right?
Yep.
And it's normally me and Jude playing soccer against Ava and Helena.
Why soccer, not footy?
Well, the girls don't want to play football, so we do a bit of netball as well. I have a kick with Jude. At the end, before we go, we always have a game of 2-on-2 soccer, so we might set some goals up at either end.
Boys v girls.
In this park, yeah. And the girls are 10 and 9, and they're pretty good. They're better than Jude at the moment, so I sort of try and help the young fella out. He falls over a lot, but he'll get there. But yesterday, and it might surprise you, Matthew, that when I was younger, I was a tad petulant when it came to sport.
Oh, really?
Shocker. Knock me over with a feather.
So I've noticed this creeping in my two girls, right? And they were carrying on like absolute idiots yesterday. Like, you wouldn't believe it. They were just fighting, pushing each other, crying. One sat down and refused to play for a while. The other one threw the ball at the other one, and then they kicked. They're on the same team, by the way, right? Yeah. And I'd had enough of it. So we'd scored the first two goals, and normally it's first to 10. So normally I make it. It ends up about 9-all, and then we have the big dramatic goal at the end, so I can control it to the point where
you manipulate the scoreboard.
I manipulate the scoreboard, but I thought, stuff it yesterday. Oh. I need to teach these girls a lesson. And I gave them a 10-0 drubbing. It went for about 3 minutes. Our game normally lasts for about 20 minutes. And it was a 10-0 drubbing to the point where they were in tears at the end.
Are you serious?
Yep, they were in tears. They could not believe they'd been beaten that bad. And every time I scored, I went over the top of the celebrations as well.
So really?
And I said to them, if you start working as a team, you might start to get somewhere. And then we get back in the car, and one of the treats we have when we finish is we go to 7-Eleven, we get a Slurpee.
Yeah. Oh,
and so they're both crying at this point, right? And Helena musters up the courage to go, are we going to get a Slurpee? And I said, we are, but but you're not getting one. And,
oh,
Jude goes, am I getting a Slurpee? I said, winners are grinners, mate. We are getting Slurpees. So we went there and we got Slurpees, right? And so I thought this is a great life lesson that Jude got a Slurpee.
Yeah.
I bought myself a Slurpee just to rub it in a little bit. And then they were distraught. They could not believe it. We got home and they stormed in the house.
Did they go to mum?
Straight to mum. Straight to mum. Said dad was bullying them.
Oh,
dad
really?
Was aggressive.
Wow, the bullying card.
Dad pushed them over.
Oh,
Dad
no.
laughed at them, and they went on and on and on. Ooh, and I said, we won't be getting a Slurpee for a long time now, will you?
Well, no,
that goes against sort of what they're doing in junior sport at the moment. They don't even have a score, do they?
It's not everybody gets a ribbon in my house, Matt. You need life lessons.
No, I'm with you on this.
You need life
lessons. Where did the Dahl sit on all of this?
She sent the girls up to their room because they were being a little bit overdramatic, and she asked me what happened, and I explained it to her. And then we both went up and had a chat to them and just told them about... A humility, teamwork, keeping you cool, you know.
So
all the things that I was terrible at when I was their age.
So I did a similar thing with my daughter last night. Bob Murphy dropped around this big unicorn. You know, it's got the unicorn head and you sort of sit in it and it's got the straps and Zoe rides the unicorn around, right? And she loved it. Bob Murphy dropped it around. His daughters have grown out of it. So she had this thing on all day and it's huge, right? The unicorn, you know, comes right out here. It's like she's riding the unicorn. And she had it on. So it was comes bedtime and she wouldn't take the unicorn off. She wanted to wear it to bed, right? This huge unicorn. And she wouldn't take it off. She wouldn't go to sleep. I said, if you don't take it off now, Zoe, and go to sleep, I'm going to go and put it up in the roof. So this went on for about half an hour. She wouldn't take it off. So as of this morning, the unicorn's up in the roof.
It's gone.
It's not coming out.
A little bit of tough love's always good, huh? Not everyone gets a medal.
No, I didn't get any tough love when I was a kid growing up.
Look how I've turned up.
Hey, diving into footy, the Bombers, 2 metre Peter was just sensational.
Yeah,
I asked the question. I know this always happens when someone comes out that goes really cheaply in the draft or the trade period.
But he didn't originally. He's a top 10 pick.
How did Essendon get him? For what they paid for.
Because he didn't play a game last year.
No.
Didn't play one game at the Gold Coast Suns.
Okay.
And everybody always thought, why isn't this guy playing? Because he showed talent. And it was interesting, I heard, was it Dyson Heppel or Zach Merritt did an interview about him and said that we had to rebuild
him. Yeah.
He was that low on confidence. We had to rebuild him. And he's just starting to hit his straps now. So obviously being at the Gold Coast was hard work for him. And now he's in an environment where it's probably better. Yeah. But then you've also got to have enough intestinal fortitude for yourself to be able to get through adversity like at the Gold Coast Suns. Yeah. But you don't know what was happening there compared to what is happening at Essendon. But so, seems like Essendon's a good fit for him.
So he's put Essendon in the... That, winning that game there is literally... I think it's nearly sewn up a final
They've got Gold Coast in the Pies.
They're going
to
win those. On form, they win those. So they get to 44. The big one is going to be whoever wins out of Richmond and GWS, I think, will get the other spot. I think the Eagles are going to miss.
The Toby Green decision's massive then,
massive,
isn't it?
Massive,
If he can get off that, it's huge.
Yeah. So I think at the moment, I think the Eagles may drop out and the Giants. It just depends on Richmond and Giants Friday night.
But Eagles don't deserve to play finals. Neither do Richmond.
No.
Richmond don't deserve to play finals either.
No, they don't. But if you beat the Giants Friday night, they probably will because they've got Hawthorn in the last round. But they're playing well, the Hawks. So it's gonna, but I think Essendon make it now.
Giants have been... I've always said this, that if Leon Cameron coached Victorian side, he would have been sacked. They fly under the radar. Are they flying under the radar so much?
Could they
sneak in?
Why do you think?
Well, I just think that if he was in a footy town where he was getting picked. Well, we'll just have to agree to disagree. Yeah. I honestly think that
if Leon... to get his side up in Friday night footy against Geelong.
That was extraordinary, Hum. Look at this.
He's had an exception.
They've had some enormous wins.
He's had the best list.
He's had the most injuries, though.
Yes, I understand. He's had, but they've achieved nothing. They have achieved nothing.
He's played in two prelim finals.
What about that win they pulled off against Collingwood?
Oh, so they had injuries, I don't give a stuff about
that final series.
One-off wins.
We've got to
they haven't won a flag.
What about the 2019 final series, right? They went into that and everybody'd written them off. They finished 7th or 8th or something like that. Leon Cameron changed their whole game plan to become aggressive. They went after sides and they made a grand final and they'd used up all their tickets. They were in that grand final in the first quarter. I thought he architected them
for the first 8 seconds
to make a grand final, but on the big stage, the players didn't deliver.
So this is about Leon Cameron here, right? They go down to Geelong last week. Did you give them any chance at all?
No, but it's a strange year.
So just listen. Geelong have won 90 of 100 games at GMHBA Stadium, right? They go down there, they have 8 changes in their team. They lost 600 games of experience.
That was 920.
There you go, 920,
yep.
Right? And they beat Geelong at
Upsets
Geelong.
Upsets happen.
And Leon manufactured that with a great coaching performance.
So this one win. Okay, I'll put this question to you. 3 or 4 years ago when you saw the talent of GWS list, this is when it was firing on all cylinders. It was the best list in the game. Yeah. If I said to you that GWS are never going to win a premiership, would you have said no chance?
No, I would have said you've still got to have a lot of luck to win one. And they've made two grand finals, right? Two grand finals and another two prelim finals, okay? And they've had more injuries than anyone, and they've lost more talent than anyone to other clubs. I reckon he's done a great job.
I have to disagree, but I think one thing we will agree on. Green getting rubbed out this week is an absolute travesty.
Yep.
I know that he went to the tribunal last night. Now, at the time of recording, GWF has said that they are probably going to take it further, as they should.
Yeah, AFL appeals.
How the bloody hell? When you watch this, the vision...
Was it football action?
If you watch the vision, there's a camera. There's a great vision. There's a great shot. The camera's on the ground. It's filmed right up, so you see it in speed. There is not a snowball's chance in hell. Now that's keeping. I know Dangerfield went off. We also know that Dangerfield has a penchant for carrying on a little bit. No, he does.
He went to hospital
and they said, "Get out of here. You've got nothing wrong with you." He was at training on Monday.
But you're right, right?
If you couldn't talk, mate. He had his
because that's what Dangerfield does.
If you look at that,
you
in real time.
You don't want to be mucking around with your throat.
And you know how long he was in there.
Oh, you know the doctor, do you?
He was in there for 60 seconds. They said, "Danger, we're sick of seeing you in here. Get out, go to training." And he trained 24 hours later.
If you look at that in real time, he picks the ball up. Dangerfield is right there. He's a great stiff arm, right? Dustin Martin, Toby Green. If he had time, he's looking for the stiff arm. He didn't get it extended. I thought it was a footy action. I thought he was stiff as well.
Hey, well, someone who else was very, very stiff and a good, great fan of the show. He listens every week. Josh Bruce.
Yeah.
The very last second of the game.
I want to see that.
When he stood up, I thought, I think he's going to be okay.
He was walking okay, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's tough, though. He's had a great year.
He's sitting third on the Coleman medal, 48 goals. He's got two games. He would have kicked 50 goals as another key forward there with Aaron Norton. Shattering.
A question I want to ask you guys, because you both had injuries that kept you out for a year. What goes through your head, not immediately, but when you go, all right, I've now essentially got 12 months off work.
Mm.
I know it's not off work, you know, you've got to do the rehab, but what's the first thought? Like, is it absolute doom and gloom? Is there any, you're like, well, you know, I don't have to play footy for a year? For example, if I got injured at work and my hand fell off and I couldn't type for 12 months, I wouldn't be that upset.
I'm
not playing footy.
A year off is doom and gloom.
If my hand got chopped off, I wouldn't be that upset.
If there's an injury that stopped me from typing press releases for 12 months,
it's not a bad analogy.
I wouldn't be that upset.
No, it's doom
and
gloom.
I'm sure it's different for footy.
It's doom and gloom because you don't know how long your career's going to last. I mean, the average career is 4 years.
Yeah.
So if you lose 1 year out of your 4 years, I mean, you're shattered. So, and he's shattered because he's a chance to win a premiership.
Yeah.
You know?
But him going down hurts him as well.
Yeah.
Like
what hurts him more, Keith being out or Bruce being out?
Oh, Keith being out, I think. We saw the fact that...
Right kick seven.
Shacky couldn't quite handle the big guys. He lacks physicality. And maybe they need to send Shacky forward, I'm not sure. But Chamar doesn't look like he's there yet. So I think Keith hurts a little bit more. They've got options. If they get enough supply, Ugal Hagen is going to be okay. But they've got some issues, the Dogs, now.
But I just looked at that. The siren went and then we went, oh, gee, Bruce is down. Nothing more shattering than how that happened.
Oh, just had to get through one, literally a second more.
No.
Hey, going away, because it is Wednesday, the Olympics finished on Sunday.
Now, how good were they?
Before we start, I just want to thank, and I'm sure there is no one listening from Tokyo, but from the bottom of my heart, and I think almost the whole world, I'm sure there's some countries that don't give a rat's ass about the Olympics, but from the bottom of my heart, I thank you to everyone at Tokyo because we were sitting there during the Olympic, but when it was then the lead-up going, why are they doing it? I don't care. There was no lead-up to it. We just, you know, it's been 5 years since the last one, so we've sort of forgotten how engrossed you can get in the Olympics. But that, I'm going to say this was the most memorable Olympics of our lifetime because it came at a time when we're just down on our luck, we're just flat as a tack, and to have the Olympics and this constant there, and Channel 7, now I know that I've had my issues with Channel 7.
You've had issues with most
people. I've had my issues with Channel 7 in the past.
Editorials going here today.
The efforts the how that was broadcast. Yeah, there was a few little hiccups.
Channel
here
7
and there.
Did an amazing.
It was just magnificent.
When you go onto the app and you've got everything
that's
there.
The difference.
That was amazing.
That's the difference. We've never had an Olympics where you could just get on. You could watch whatever you wanted at any given moment. That's what that made it brilliant. So good.
I reckon it's united the country again because at the moment we hate Sydney. Sydney hates us. Western Australia hates everyone.
Well, you
I
needed
think
something,
now
didn't we?
It has brought everyone together. We sat there cheering. But I want to ask
your favourite moment.
What was your favourite moment during it?
Well, I think for me, I mean, very patriotic Tasmanians, aren't we? Because we get a lot of, you know, your whole life you just get bullied.
You're up against it your whole life. What are you bound from Tasmania?
You get bullied as
what
a Tassie.
What do you get bullied about?
Well, just everyone gets into us. We're like, well, you get into my voice when I arrive from Tassie, you know, the ham, the lamb, the turkey.
The real voice.
I've had to change the way I speak so you people can accept it.
Richo's living a lie every day.
That's why. We're bullied, right? Okay. I was bullied when I got here because of my voice, and you guys are still doing it now. So Arnie Titmus for me. That was my two gold medals.
Watching the soccer, and they didn't win the gold medal, but the girls' team, when they beat Great Britain, that so they were 2-1 down, and Sam Kerr scored late, and then it went to extra time. They scored twice, and then Great Britain come back and scored. That was as good as anything I've seen. I loved
it. Ratings for that game on 7 were unbelievable.
Boomers for me. I know they won the bronze, but I don't think, you know, sometimes you see the bronze medal matches in these sports and they don't really care, they don't mean much. To see how well they played and how much they wanted it, and it was the first medal the Australians have won in the basketball.
Yeah.
And the fact that you had, you know, you've got players that have coming from the NBA, like this is nothing compared to their actual lives. For them to care so much, I don't think there's a team, I'm sure there's a lot of teams that care just as much, but I think seeing the Boomers win that game and then how happy they were, how happy it made Andrew Gaze
How good was Paddy Mills?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you want to watch the leader's performance, that was incredible.
Good one.
Just magnificent.
He picked up a little
16
million.
Do they win the gold medal if Ben Simmons was there?
No.
Stuff Ben Simmons.
I don't think
not stuff him, but
Ben Simmons is like Lord Voldemort. We do not mention his name.
He shouldn't be.
But if he had been there, it would have
added to. I'm sure it would have helped.
The fact that he's never committed to the Boomers.
Correct. And he might have dragged the culture down. You know those people that just suck the life out of people? That's what Ben Simmons.
You've got to want to be there, and he didn't want to be there.
Didn't want to be there. Wanted to work on his jump shot, and a week later, he's seen at Wimbledon with a Dahl on his arm. I've got no time for him. Hey, bouncing back to footy, because after this, Richo, you're going to a very important meeting.
Yes, it's that time of year again. It's that thankless time of year.
The All Australian team.
You don't get paid for. You give up your time for it. It's not the final selection today. Obviously, you've got to look at the team.
Can I ask a question?
How many years have you done it?
I think it's about 8 years now.
And what have you got out of it in those 8 years? Has it been a dinner? Has it been a bottle of wine?
The honour of being an All-Australian selection.
No, it's sure you get looked after.
Surely they take you get for dinner.
Do you get a holiday?
No, they get you a bottle of wine.
We've been out for dinner.
Like a nice Grange.
How many times?
Out of the 8 years, how many times have you been out for dinner?
Let's see your team, Nathan.
How many times have you?
A couple of times.
Come on, Gil.
I just want to ask a question. Actually, just go.
Here's my team, and you're going to do your team today. Yeah. But in the back pocket,
I'm going to write this down.
I had Tommy Stewart, Stephen May, and Zach Tuohy.
Yep.
Halfback line. Zach Tuohy, plays for Geelong.
Yeah, I know.
Bailey Dale, Jake Lever, Daniel Rich.
Lever sent halfback.
Yeah.
Didn't play there all year.
Miller. Oh, what did he play? Halfback?
Intercept, he is.
Yeah. Well, he still played there, mate. Harrison, so you've got Lever, May, and Stewart as your three tools.
Yep.
Miller, Walsh, Parrish.
So when no genuine wingman there, so when the team comes out, just remember that when you're critiquing it.
Well, McCluggage dropped off, mate, so if you want to put Hugh McCluggage in.
Who was your other wing?
Parrish.
Parrish, yep.
Half forward line of Petrarca.
Yep.
Harry Mackay. Toby Green.
Yep, I like that.
Now, this is the forward line I found trouble. People are talking about Tom Papley. I don't think Tom Papley's had a good enough year to play All Australian, so I haven't put him in.
He just goes missing.
Yeah. Hardest position on the ground. You should know that.
Yeah,
you
but can't. Nobody's doing it the way it should be done at the moment.
Right.
There should be more goals scored and players being in the game more, and I don't think Todd Papley deserves it. But I'm going to go Riewoldt, and that might surprise a few people, but he's been big, Jack Riewoldt this year. Tom Hawkins and Isaac Heaney. In the rucks at Gorn, Bontem, Pally and Wines.
Don't think you get any arguments on that.
Yep.
And on the bench, I had Merritt, McRae, Steele, and Oliver.
Jeez. Oh, that could be a carbon copy of what Richard.
Let's see. Okay, let's Let's just, we'll put that in.
Is that the first prep you've done for this meeting?
I did a couple of hours yesterday.
Do you remember the hardest part I found?
The forward pockets. Yeah.
So Hawkins and Mackay picked themselves. Toby Green picks himself. Yeah. He kicked 46 goals.
The tracker at half forward. You have to get an on-baller at half forward.
So there's two spots up for grabs, and I'm not 100% confident on Riewoldt or Heaney, but for me, looking at the balance of the side, Riewoldt's done enormous stuff this year, and Heaney's been a match winner on multiple occasions. So the other options are Bailey Fritsch, and does he do it enough at Melbourne? Mm-hmm. And there's Tom Papley. Does he do it enough at Sydney? I'm not convinced on Riewoldt and Heaney, but I had to put them in there.
This was the problem last year, the small forwards. Neither of Papley or Butler got in, and they were the two best-performed small forwards. It's just really hard position. It's hard to be consistent in that position.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad at least that you're taking the consideration to find players for their positions, because the year you put Dane Swan in the back pocket...
I never did that. I wasn't a part of that committee, I guarantee you. We'll revisit this, huh?
All right, we're going to dive into a very new segment thanks to Tommy Medaglia, who is off because he had a child. I'm not sure if you spoke about it in the podcast last
week.
He
wouldn't have slept the last week.
No, we didn't.
No, so congratulations to Tommy Medaglia, one of our producers. Yeah. All right.
Alex brought it up.
Extra. Read all about it. If you're listening for the first time, this is where I have got some headlines.
Sorry, Hum, I've just got to back over that. We even showed a photo.
I've forgotten. He's a good man, Tommy. He's a very good man.
Extra reader, all about it. I will read a headline that was written and put on social media during the week. The gentleman will need to guess who it is about and who said it. He would loom as a great presidential candidate. If he put his hand up, he would be an unbelievable president for Hawthorn.
That would be Jason Dunstall they're talking about.
I'm not... Well, Richard.
And it was said by... Mark Howard, maybe?
I think it is Dunstall. And I'll say it was by his colleague at Triple M and your colleague, Jay Clark.
It was my man, the Hutch. Mm. My favourite man in media.
Your man, mate. He didn't get back to me on getting you a job.
He's more Brownies man being in the Channel 9.
Hutch and I are good pals. He just didn't want to employ me.
I don't know if you are.
We are pals.
I sent Hutchie two different texts.
Oh, we don't need to go through this again, Brownie.
He offered to work for free.
Still didn't get it. And we know Hutchie likes to count the dollars down here.
All right.
I got this new guy coming over from Sportsbet. You know, he can do a dual role. A few HR issues, but, you know, he should be okay.
Oh, Franny, I don't know why you continue to bring it up.
You've come a long way, huh?
I've come a long way. Okay. He's head and shoulders above what the level of the other players are. The cheat code. Dusty had it for a few years. The baton has now passed.
That is Bontempelli they're talking about.
Correct.
And that is Daisy Thomas.
That is talking about Bontempelli, and I think Daisy Thomas as well.
Oh, well, you can't steal. The answer went up on the screen earlier. That is on the famous,
one I've got one.
The infamous Heater and Daisy show. Obviously, the message isn't getting through. I can't see David T keeping his spot at Carlton.
That's me.
Yeah, I don't know why I've got that.
I think that would
Sunday footy show.
If you say it's you, it has to be.
Well, I did say it.
And there's
It could be Kane Corns because I've heard him say the same thing.
It was Nathan Brown.
Righto. That one didn't
make sense because I...
Come on, Tommy. You've got to be better than that.
That one just gave the whole question.
Tommy was...
at least I got it.
Tommy was doing a little nighttime feed at that point, I think.
The dream.
I'd be choosing Carlton. I think that is the club best suited to him.
I think that is about Adam Chera. And... I'll say it's Matthew Lloyd.
I think it's about Alistair Clarkson.
Ooh.
And I think it's maybe... Yeah, I think I'm going to go Matty Lloyd as well, maybe.
It is about Carlton, but it is Kane Corns.
Where should Chera go? Stay at Freo?
I think he wants to come home, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does, yeah.
What's he doing now as well is hitting the scoreboard. He's gone to a whole new level in terms of distance that he covers. He goes from one contest to another. They simply can't keep up with him.
Lockie Whitfield. Kane Corns, maybe?
No, it's hits the scoreboard, did you say?
Oh, yep. I missed that
part. I'll,
it was clearly
I think that's Bontempelli again.
Oh. Sam Walsh.
Yes.
Wayne Carey.
I was going to say Walsh.
And the last one. He's been a real shining light for us this year. He can play anywhere, really. This is tough.
I'll say it's Liam Baker, and it's Damien Hardwick saying it.
Yeah, I'll go with that too. Sounds pretty good.
Liam Baker, but Jack Riewoldt.
She's close. That's a good effort to get Baker.
That is a magnificent effort. So there we go. That's done for another week as we dive into our favourite local footy club. Now, ooh, unfortunately for local footy sides around Melbourne, you will not be playing this week down in Tassie. In fact, regional Victoria, they are playing. How is this for dedication? My brother and his friend who are playing up at Tongala,
yeah,
they have moved to Benalla
to play.
So they can play and play the final series.
Haven't they brought the final series forward down on the the Geelong Footy League? I think they brought their final series.
That would make sense. Yeah. The VAFA is cactus. Yeah. We're toast. Yeah. Well, we were going to get relegated, saved.
You know how you get the local footballers?
To the no, yeah, yes, to Division 7.
You know what you do if you're... You know how guys go from league to league and they, you know, they cash in on it and get a little bit of money? If you wanted to play somewhere next year and be guaranteed, you go to Tassie.
Yeah.
They're the only leagues that don't get...
Correct. Well, you go down, not just to
Tassie,
go to the Northwest Football Association as we get up the scores this week. Now, I think Rosemary Turak had the bye. Poor fourth on top of the ladder. Poor East Ulverston. 30 goals, 17-1-9-7 fourth. Defeated East Ulverston 1-1-7. While West Ulverston, it wasn't as nice either. 29-22-196 to West Ulverston 3-0-8. The game of the round.
Fourth going to win the granny. Are they a certainty?
Fourth, no, because Sprayton are going very well and Wesley Vale. Now, that would have been an absolute cracker. Wesley Vale 13-11-89, lost to Sprayton 15-7-97.
You know, have you noticed the scoring's come back a bit over the last month?
We haven't had any of the big ones. Now, look at that. Turner's Beach.
I reckon Mott and Preston can cause an upset in the granny.
Turner's Beach have taken over East Ulverston. There we go. So we've got fourth on 15 wins with a percentage of 847. Mott and Preston.
I'm saying it now, right? And just let's just remember this after. Okay. It'll be a Mott and Preston fourth granny, obviously, when you look at that.
Well, that's brave.
No, but listen.
Two sides of percentage of over 500.
But I'm tipping Mott and Preston now. That'll be an upset granny.
Oh, Wesley Vale and Sprayton round out the four. Sheffield could sneak in, but then West Ulverston, Turners Beach, East Ulverston at Rosemary Turak. It is time to plan your Mad Mondays. Hey, Brownie. We've had a lot of teams on this show. We did the long sleeve team of the century.
Yes.
Then this year, we did the redhead team of the century.
Did.
We were very proud of it. We'd worked very hard. Yes, admittedly that perhaps we wavered it sometimes and it petered out and it took us three months longer than it needed to.
Great team.
It came up. We created it though, would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course we did.
Start of the year.
Well then, can you explain explain this to me?
Yeah.
Well, we want to get the final lineup in first, huh? We've got to put our bench in first.
Let's do that then.
You want to do that?
Yep.
Yeah.
What have you got?
All right. Well, the bench. Well, I've had to drop. Remember, we got a message last week. You got a message on our socials. And we've had to drop Nick Floston out of the team, which hurts me as a Richmond man.
Wow.
Because we missed one.
Who?
We missed one of the greatest redheads the game has ever seen in the great Brad Hardy. Brownlow medalist from a back pocket in 1985. Mm. So I've had to bring Brad into the team. That means Nick Floston has moved to the interchange bench. And the other bench players are Josh Thurgood, and that's for you, huh?
Yes, good.
You my said man. At the start of the year he wasn't in the team. And when you've got the confidence as a redhead to then grow them out into dreadlocks, you deserve to be on the bench. So Josh Thurgood comes in. One of the great redheads of all time from down at the Cattery, Neville Bruns, comes into the team. And one of the great redheads of the contemporary era. How nice is Ed Richards' hair? It's just beautiful. Ed Richards is my last bench member. There you go.
So there's the team. It is finally final. It's taken us all year. It should have only taken 3 weeks, but we are there.
Stretch it out, huh?
Look at that.
Look at that team.
That is a great team.
That is a good team.
That is the Sportsbet Richo Brownie and Hummer
Correct.
Redhead team of the century.
Sportsbet. Yep. That is the key word. Well, Brownie, can you just explain this next part of audio?
A little bit of time on my hands during the week and did my redhead team of the century. Had Vlostone in the back pocket. Very good player.
Very, very good player. Who would have been captain?
I had Michael Voss as captain. Oh, I didn't count your redheads like Heath Shaw. Maybe even you could mount a case for this man, Jack Riewoldt. I'm talking your real reds, your Cameron Lings, your Tony Delaney's, these sort of guys. It's Riewoldt. Misses this one, 3-1 behind.
Mitch Robinson?
Mitchie Robinson was in there, definitely.
What is going on?
Are you kidding?
What?
Are you serious?
I had some time off during the week, so I did my redhead team of the century.
Well, you work at another network, and you know me, what? So I can't mention you. You're banned from most networks. Anytime I speak about you, people go, well, no, you can't talk about him because he's banned.
The biggest concern here, Hum, is that you've had a bit to do with it, with Josh Thurgood. You have had not one single second to do with this team. I've done it all year. Sesu puts the graphics together, emails me every week for the team, and you've gone on Triple M and said, my team, me. You are kidding yourself.
Sometimes there's a lot of space between ball ups and boundary throw-ins, and I just needed some filler time.
Your red-headed team.
My team.
You are an absolute fraud. But one thing that did come out of it is that you did hear a rumour about the red-headed team.
You kept asking me, Hum, about Joe Macedi being red-headed.
Yes.
Right? Because you saw him in a video game where he was big.
Here we go. We've got him on the screen.
He was overweight and he had red hair. So that's poor old Joe Macedi. Now, this is the rumour. Now, this is a rumour. This is not fact. This is what I'm hearing. But the developer, so who put these graphics together, wasn't the biggest fan of Joe back in the school days.
And stitched him up
and drew him fat and red-headed in the game because he didn't like him. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's what I got told by someone in our box on the weekend.
That's the ultimate stitch-up,
yeah,
isn't it? That actually reminds me of the Richmond team of the century painting. All of the teams have got him. And the guy that painted all of those team of the century paintings was a guy called Jamie Cooper, who played for Fitzroy in the 1980s, right? So he was painting the Richmond team of the century photo, and he had to paint Dale Waitman into the photo, who was the first rover for the team of the century. So he painted Dale Waitman with a black eye, right? And everyone looks at that photo and goes, why's Dale Waitman got a black eye in the Team of the Century photo? The reason being, he whacked Jamie Cooper at Princes Park one day after the game. Jamie Elliott had a huge egg and a black eye. So he thought, when I'm doing the Team of the Century, I'll get flea back. Got flea back beautifully. That's good.
Oh, that, can you just imagine that some nerdy web developer, Joe back here. I'm going to make him fat.
It's funny, though.
And it's not even ginger. It is red.
He's so fat as well. Hey, Randy, a couple of weeks ago, you on air said that you were going to offer a commentary masterclass, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Well, I got sent in from someone that they had applied. They sent you an email.
Right.
Then they did a little bit of digging. They did some digging, and they...
Is this the commentary school you were...
Yeah, the commentary school. Yeah. Well, before you join, I would just like you to listen to these following three clips that have been sent in by a concerned listener, just to see perhaps if you should spend your money elsewhere.
Ground level, it was McKenzie. Now he's got running in through Sinclair. Well, he's going to be run down. He took too long. Umpire said he got a handball to it. Not sure about that. The Dockers are starting to tackle. Running through here is Weller. Through to... That man there, I forget his name at this point, but he's picked it up again now.
You've gone all the way back to my 3RW calling days.
Oh, I'm just saying
all
this.
The way back to 3RW. Hey,
you got to know the players' names, Nader.
Sometimes they escape you, Matthew. Yeah. It's a hard job.
No, I will never bag callers. They have the toughest job in the game.
Yeah, but perhaps if you're offering $5,000 courses, perhaps you just might want to be a little...
That wasn't a masterclass in radio calling. That was like... to do like a brand ambassadorial role.
It was your polished full package type of thing, wasn't it?
I think we've got another one.
Parker stood up, got it to Towers, in the goal square is good! Dropped it back! Probably should have taken it.
He dropped it. You've gone back a long way. That's 8 years ago.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
testes
makes
were still
a few
dropping.
Blues. Yeah. It's all good.
Well, what?
Your testes were still dropping. Well, how many voice breaks did you used to have back then?
It was just like a...
It's a tough job, Hum.
It is. Well, have you got another one, have you?
I think we've just got one final.
No free options, so Newman has to go long again. Edwards at ground level was able to get the ball 60 metres down the track. Dustin Martin stands up. Richards fell over. One bounce, two, closes to 30. Dusty kicks it!
Jesus Christ.
Voice went up a little bit a couple of times.
Oh, my God.
Overall, it was pretty good.
What that shows you is, hasn't he come a long way, Nato? It was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was okay, Matt. Yeah.
I'm with you.
Hey, Brownie.
Like Fat Boy Slim, you've come a long way, baby.
There's another clip. I don't think we've actually got it, but there's a clip of Neil Mitchell giving you a bit of a bath.
Oh, really?
I'll bring it in next week, yeah. I was supposed to do
it. Back then?
Yeah, back then. Yeah.
What Neil Mitchell clip?
Neil Mitchell from 3AW. He was conversing with Tony Jones, and they were having a sort of... Neil Mitchell wasn't Nathan Brown's biggest fan.
What, he as never a caller? Been.
Really?
As a caller?
Because I
just as a person, I think.
I give it to TJ all the time. Apparently, I bullied TJ.
Oh, come
on. Neil. Hey, Brownie, crypto.
Yes.
You know everything about crypto.
I do.
You've had a good week.
It has had a good week. I've got some Ethereum, which is going up. I'm trying to get enough to rent out a houseboat in November, which I need $4,000 for.
Cardano's going really well this week as well.
But I want to ask you some questions because the Jason Ackermanis, who seems to be doing a lot of things, he's a real estate agent, he's doing everything. He has started his own crypto.
I'm just trying to get that article up, but it keeps going to a different article.
Acker backs in crypto bid. AFL start... says currency will be bigger than Bitcoin.
Yeah. That's a big call.
That is it's a pretty big call given Bitcoin's trading at what?
It's over 70,000.
60,000.
So I like the fact that he's having a go, Jason Ackermanis, and you wouldn't have a go at anybody for having a go.
Absolutely.
So I hope it goes well for him. I hope he makes the millions he wants to make. But there was a few things that I picked up in there, and he says that our coin does what Bitcoin can't. So people who can't afford to buy a Bitcoin for $70,000, his coin can do the job because you can buy bits and pieces of Bitcoin. But if I wanted to buy $5 of a Bitcoin today on any exchange, I can. And the fact that it's $60 per coin, their coin.
You can buy dollars worth of Bitcoin if you want.
Yeah, but his coin can never go below $60. I'd like to understand how that works. I don't understand how that works. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but there's just a few things that I'd like to get my head around
before I would purchase.
I'm not saying that at all. Before I purchase,
his coin can't go below a certain point.
That's what he's saying. So I don't know how that works.
Work?
I don't know how that works.
I don't know how that works.
So I'd like to do some more research on it. It's only been brought to my attention, but I wouldn't be buying that coin at the moment. But it's not saying I wouldn't in the future. Gee. Hopefully Jason Ackermanis goes really well.
But some people might like to buy it because it'd be a real speculative buy. You might make a heap of money on it.
We're not saying do either. We're not financial planners or advisors, as much as Brownie
thinks. I'd advise you to read the whole article. And get your head around the whole article.
Hey, Brownie,
did
you say you're a strong man?
Jeez, there's a lot of Brownie.
It is all Brownie. That's just
content, boys.
Would you say you're a strong man?
Yep.
Have you spent much time doing weights?
Not of late, no. I'm more of a tennis player at the moment, do a little bit
tennis.
Of running,
you
some
can't
cardio.
Play soccer with the kids.
Soccer with the kids, tennis with Julian Valance.
You've never been a big cardio man, have you?
I run three times a week, but it's like
just
a 4K jump. Run, yeah. I'm not breaking any sound barriers.
It's a warm-up. A warm-up run for me.
I did a run with you and you were like gasping. We only did 4.5Ks and we had
that
to
was different.
You.
I'm actually
That was
now.
Different.
Yeah.
That is different. I'm getting
quite
a few Ks.
Imagine how bad he is if I had to wait for him.
Yes, I can see.
Just like you, once we're off COVID, I'll beat you at footy. I guarantee you I'll beat you at any distance over...
That's still on, by the way. I just
it
want
is,
to get
yes.
this
of
clear.
Of course, it definitely is.
People have been asking me what's happened with Hummer and Richo and the mark out, the marking competition. It's happening. Clearly, with all these lockdowns, we haven't been able to get it happening.
Yeah.
It will happen.
Mm. It will. Honestly, so pencil it in for December next year, once we're out of lockdown. Richo and I will be paying. But, Brandon, I want you to explain a couple of tapes that came across my desk.
Hang on the edge of this seat's waiting for
me. This is about, we've got something on you.
Here we go.
All right, can we play the first one?
I need to get some muscles back. So I'm going to get out there. I'm going to do some flies. I'm going to do some shoulders.
Brownie, his muscles back.
I just bought some dumbbells, Johnsy.
What, 15s or 10s?
I bought 12 and a half, 15s and 20s.
Yeah, good. You want
12 and a half for these ones to get the shoulders.
You want to shred up again?
These are the 15s.
So, Nate's So that we had a little bit of a technical issue last week.
I won't be speaking during the breaks anymore. So that's the third week in a row.
That's our AFL previews that we do on Thursday mornings. And we had a bit of a technical issue with some of the footage we were looking at. So Nate started talking about doing weights. So we've actually fast forwarded to this time next year. We've found a photo of Nathan.
For those listening, it is Brownie. It's the famous shot of Brownie with no eyebrows on what looks to be on Lou Ferrino's
body. The rig on Brown.
Body. I went online and bought some dumbbells.
So do you reckon the dumbbells will get you looking like that?
They'll be a start, mate. They'll definitely be a start. Oh, I got a bit, have I?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. Look at this. Look at this stuff.
Oh, you've just remembered something, have you?
I have. Oh, and late entry into today. Carry on about the muscles. Look, at least I'm open and honest about it. Like, on camera, I said, I'm out there. I need to get my muscles back. I'm going to get some weights. I'm going to do it. That's honesty, Matthew. Unlike you, who posted a photo of this when we were in Kokoda. What are you doing with your hands? Look at you pushing your muscles. You've even rolled your shirt up and then you're pushing your muscles out. Look at that.
It was meant to be a bit of a fun footy team photo and nobody else got into the spirit.
What are you doing?
Well,
no, Richo. I remember the photo. Nobody said, let's do a footy photo. You were just sitting up there trying to pump up your pipes.
All right.
And you look really, you actually look quite frail in that photo. You look like the bloke from Mr. In Between.
Well, just walked about 100 k's in the bush.
You look like bloke from Mr. In Between. You got your little goatee going on.
Yeah.
That was 7 days into the Kokoda trek,
See,
mate.
People think
you don't look your best.
It's been walking for 6 years.
People think you're such a humble man. Like, I'm out here to tell you people he's not. He is a narcissist just like everybody else. And I wouldn't laugh at anything,
because I'm in this.
I got sent one of you. Have a look at this. This is a video of a few boys that work at Sportsbet. There's Mickey Wall. Have a look at Hum. Come on, Hum. You're actually flexing. Look at you. You actually, look at how tight that part of the top forearm is.
You know what you've got? There's a bit of bulk there, Hum, but there's not a lot of
Have a look at
definition.
Mickey Wall. He looks healthy, doesn't he?
We'll make sure those photos are on our social pages for those listening. All right, Richo, what's doing your head in?
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
Oh, I'll make it quick, boys, but the AFL's got some issues to sort out over the summer, haven't they?
What have they got, Matt?
Well, this week's just been a classic example of how far apart the AFL's judicial system is with its own match review officer. I mean, how can you have your match review officer, and this is nothing to do with Michael Christian, because he's just ticking the boxes, right? He's ticking the boxes, whether it's high, whether it's intentional, whether it's in play, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he ticks all the boxes and...
In saying that, he did give it high impact. Yeah. I don't know how you could give that high impact.
You're talking about Toby, So he maybe ticked the wrong box there. But how can you have a system where you tick boxes and you have Mason Redmond being suspended for the tackle on Marcus Bontempelli? It goes to the tribunal and, of course, it was overturned. Mm-hmm. This has happened numerous times this year where you have a system where you're getting rubbed out for weeks, you go to your own tribunal and you then get let off. It's just, it's not working. It's broken the system. It's doing my head in.
I reckon I've said it here a couple of times on our podcast. Chriso, because he's played football, he needs to have a human element to it. So, yes, I think they've got to say to him, yes, you tick the boxes, but if you in your own mind don't think that that box correlates to this incident, then you've got to have your own thoughts and you can override what the boxes are you need to tick. Like the Toby Green one. He got the Toby Green one wrong because he classified it as high impact. Now, I feel like it's low impact. The only reason it was high impact was Dangerfield was coming in so hard. Yeah. Dangerfield made it high impact, whereas I think Toby Green's impact was low when he lifted this up, but this force coming the other way was high. Mm. If you grade that as low, you don't get the result what
but
we
it
got.
It feels broken, doesn't it?
It does. System.
And the whole dangerous tackle thing is we know why it was brought in and we agree with that, right? We don't want guys being injured and being concussed by being thrown to the ground, but there were a couple on the weekend. The Redmond one was thrown out. And there was a free kick against Natanui against on Neil Bullen the other night for a dangerous tackle, and it was just ridiculous.
Selwood got a $3,000 fine, and he possibly should have got a week for what he did.
Of course he should.
I mean, if it had been a slightly that way or that play had turned a little bit, yeah,
not the
that
the
action.
Should be suspended.
If it was 6 inches to the left or right, could have been an issue. Yeah. And he's probably looking at 4 weeks. So I think that Selwood should have got a week, not the fine, and maybe Toby Green got a warning or a $1,000 fine.
It's broken. It does my head in.
Awards next. Season has crept up on us, and it's just starting to get to the very, very spicy things.
Morning, Andy.
I think the Bont is probably an unassailable lead as we get the ladder for the best. The Bont 15, Jeremy Cameron 8, Christian Petrarca 7, Darcy Parrish 7, Dustin Martin 6, Jack Rewalt 6. While for the worst, West Coast on 26, pulling apart away, St Kilda 21, Collingwood 16, Richmond 10, Carlton 9.
I reckon that's a fair reflection. Who's been the most disappointing team this year? I reckon it is West Coast.
Just about.
And Bont and Pelly will probably win the Brownlow. So maybe we've done something
right. You
guys
are the barometers.
Maybe we are. Yep. I've given one vote to Peter Wright. Career best game, 7 goals, never kicked more than 3 before last week. He won that game for them, and that might have sealed Essendon final spot, Peter Wright. 2 to Alir, giving some defenders some love this week. Outstanding intercept game, Alir. Wouldn't have won without him, might have lost to Adelaide. And Sam Taylor, down at Geelong, was one of the best defenders games you'll play. On Tom Hawkins, didn't get worried about Hawkins, just kept intercept marking.
One vote to the Dockers. I tipped the Dockers last week. I thought they were a huge opportunity.
Is this the best or worst?
The best.
I'm doing the best first, am I?
Why would we ever do the... We have never done the worst first.
Can you just listen to
what
I said?
He's just done the best. Literally 5 seconds before you start talking.
You already know one of my worst, so I'm going to go to my best now. I gave one vote to Jack Steele at the Saints. When he went forward, he kicked some big goals. 34 disposals. He's a great leader, Jack Steele. 2 votes to Leon Cameron, your man, Hum. I thought to get that win for the Giants down in Friday night. I thought Leon Cameron, yes, the players have to then execute it, but that was brilliant. And 3 votes to Peter Wright, 7 goals. Could have kicked 8.
Well done, Nate. He's not listening. He never listens to me.
I mean, his own stitch-up he had to be reminded in his ear to do.
He sent that stitch-up in this morning. Yeah. 1 to the Cats. They lost to the Giants down at their own home ground. Youngest team of the round. 8 outs, 900 games experience. 2 to Carlton. Okay. David Teague's under siege as coach. You can't tell me they shouldn't have come out and beaten the Gold Coast Suns. And I'm going to make it 3 to the match review officer, Michael Christian. Probably not his fault because he's doing his job, but
the winner of
the whole system's not working.
You already know my one, the Dockers. I tipped them. I thought they were really disappointing.
Shocking.
I gave 2 votes to Chris O. He needs to be better. And I go 3 to Tex for obvious reasons.
We don't have the times or the days of these games being played, so I can't give you odds, but undoubtedly the game of the round.
Friday night footy is definitely Geelong-Richmond. That's the one game that's locked
Geelong-Richmond aren't playing each other, are they?
No, GWS.
GWS-Richmond. Oh, that is on Fridays.
Yeah. Massive Friday night game.
Okay, and don't have odds.
We'll wait for the teams to come out, obviously, but if the Giants get a lot of their players back, because I don't think they can go to the well 2 weeks in a row.
Hopper and Kelly will be back.
With a young side, I think you can get up once. And then I think you fall flat. So they need those players to come back and inject. And I need Toby Green out there. And I think if they get those players back that you just said, plus Toby Green, I think they can beat the Tigers.
You think Green I think they'll have another crack at it and try and get him off?
I think they have to.
Yeah.
I think the season's on the line.
Yeah, it is.
And I'd rather Toby Green out there.
I think you're right. I think selection's going to play a massive part. If Green plays, if I had to pick a team now, and we've said this before, a start-up team, and I could pick any players to come to my team, I think he'd just about be the first guy I'd pick. That's a big call with Bont and Pelly.
With the appeals board that they're going to, if it's not successful, can they increase? Or is that what he did last night at the tribunal?
I think you can run the risk of going back up. Right. Yeah. So they've got to look at their options there. Big game. Selection plays a huge part. I don't think Richmond can get any other players back at this point. Nathan Broad maybe to help the back line out a little bit. But they played pretty well in the second. If Richmond play the way they did in the second half last week, I think they can beat the Giants. But if they play like they did in the first half, then no hope. And at the moment with Richmond, you're not sure who's going to turn up. I think with the ins the Giants could have, I think they may scrape home.
Before we dive into hypotheticals and finish up the show, I've got a question for you, Richo.
Yep.
got sent in by one of our loyal listeners. We love your questions. Send them in over on Instagram or on Twitter or on the Sportsbet page. This came from Jack Hardy. Richie Hum. Chris Mayne looks like he'll finish up on 249 games. Does Matt Richo think he deserves to be chaired off? Would love to hear this discussed on the pod.
Well, this is a little bit different, isn't it? Because I have said before you should only be chaired off in your 300th game. So this week, Mark Murphy will be chaired off 300 games, right? That's slightly different because we're talking about a guy playing his last game of his career and retirement.
Well, you said...
It's a bit different to a milestone game where you're going to keep playing on. This is to acknowledge his whole career, not just a milestone game.
I agree with Richard.
So I think he deserves a chair.
Do you think people do get chaired off when they retire?
Yeah, this is different.
At how many games?
The service to, I think it could be any. If you gave great service for 100 games and you're a warrior of your club and it's your last game of retirement, yes. I'm talking a milestone where you're playing on, only 300.
There's a lot of holes in Richard's theories, isn't there?
I reckon you've changed your tune on that. I reckon last year you were strictly no chair off, but have 300 kids give up their Saturdays to follow you around.
Look, I'm going to
can't get chaired off for 250, but if you play 30 really hard games, we're going to get you up on our shoulders.
And as for that kids thing, I saw what you tweeted, and I, looking back on that now, right? Looking back
on
that
now. I said I can answer this for you. He'll say no to being cheered off, but yes to 249 kids being made to follow him around in a lap of honour.
I look at that now in isolation back when I... and
yeah, you made a mistake.
You regret it.
I probably should have said no.
The 282 kids would have loved it. That's the
they loved it and it was about the kid. It wasn't about me.
Of course 282 kids.
But it's extraordinary. You can't get cheered off for 250 games, but you can get cheered off for 30
good games that you've toiled away for 6 years.
I didn't say 30. See how you exaggerated.
You said 100.
I said 100, you peanut.
What 100 gamers getting cheered off?
Jake King. Gave his
push-up kid.
I reckon he got cheered off the push-up.
No, push-up. You didn't get cheered off for 100. I'm going to find that vision if he did.
You know who did.
Jake King's got, like, really small legs. Like, unbelievably small, but a really long torso.
Yeah,
he's
like me. Short legs, long, powerful torso.
You know who did get chaired off?
Nothing like him.
You know who happily jumped up on a chair for 100? You know how most guys after 100, if they were, if teammates were coming over them to get chaired off, you'd go, nah, nah, nah. You know who jumped up on a chair?
Who?
Our man, Kane Pettifer.
Did he?
He got chaired off for 100.
That's sea brain.
All right, hypotheticals to finish. I just saw something on the little hypothetical stinger then that reminded me. Next week, we must bring the Laguna Keys expose on
affair.
A current affair.
Yeah.
Randy, how did that make you feel?
It's not looking good up there, huh?
Oh, my God.
Tell you what.
Oh, my God.
It's a lot of cyclone fencing.
It's a long-term hold. It is a long-term hold, boys, you know. When you buy property, you hold it.
When the news came that the old prawn farm wasn't going up there, the arse of the real estate.
I think it's all mudflats up there at the moment.
There was nothing going on up there.
I can't believe it. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, though. Have you heard of adverse possession?
No, I haven't.
So basically, like, if there's a house,
you're not going to go over this again, eh?
If there's a house in your street that's untouched, you go and live in it for 7 years. So you have to
you're
like change the lock. You're a squatter. You change the lock,
right?
And then it's yours. If that lock doesn't get removed after 7 years, you adversely possess it, and it's your house.
What are you going to do? Go and sit on the block?
I'll go and see. I'll just go put up a tent and spend
for 7 years.
Weeks there. Well, I'm not going to live
something
there for
something that's
years.
Worth bugger all.
What if the airport gets built after 7 years?
That big international airport that's going to get built.
Hey, it's a long-term hold.
All right, this week we're doing an Olympic-themed, world record-themed hypotheticals. Right. The old format hypotheticals are still on. They're under construction because of some feedback. Okay, so you're a world record holder, okay? Right. And every time you introduce yourself, you have to introduce yourself as the world record holder. All right, so for example, hi, I'm Nathan Brown. I'm the hairiest person in the world.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Richard Hummerston. I've got the most infractions with HR.
You like that, huh? Didn't he love it?
I did like that. It's untrue. It's very untrue. Okay, you have to choose one or the other. Most piercings or most cosmetic procedures?
Oh, jeez.
So most cosmetic procedures.
So you look like Jocelyn Wildenstein.
Yeah, you could look like that. But
the Catwoman.
Cosmetic procedures, you could get... your imagination go wild, but...
I think I am going I think I am going cosmetic.
Yeah, same. Cosmetic.
Because you get
me.
Lipo. I'd get a stack of lipo.
Cosmetic
just
for
be,
me.
Just ripped.
Yeah. What about that guy that wants to look like Ken? Have you seen him?
Yeah.
The Ken doll. Good on him.
Okay.
I'm gonna look like him. I'd rather look like him than the piercings.
What about this? Longest fingernails or toenails?
Fingernails.
You wouldn't be able to wear shoes.
How do you get around with longest toenails?
Yeah, fingernails. You could wrap them around. You could wrap them around your feet and put some shoes on.
Nah, fingernails.
Fingernails.
Largest male nipples or longest armpit hair?
I'm going the hair. You can plait it up and
tie
it up.
Yeah, you can tie it up, wrap it around your arm like a bandage.
It'd be a bit weird with it. Like,
do you want some big golf tees hanging out of your chest?
Yeah, let's go the hair.
All right.
You need some good dry cloth.
Oh, wouldn't you?
Largest collection of rubber ducks or garden gnomes?
Rubber ducks. I could put them in a cupboard.
Well, I think if you've got the largest collection, it's not just going to fit in a cupboard.
Yeah.
It'd be a couple of million.
I don't like garden gnomes.
No, neither do I.
They're a bit scary, aren't they? We used to steal them as kids.
You walk in at night and you're a bit sort of not right and you're garden gnomes everywhere.
There's still movies about them coming alive too.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I'm ducks.
Love the ducks.
And ducks are pretty cool as well. You could have, like, you could have a big pool.
Ducks in the
you know what? I'd buy a property with a big lake and just dump them in there. Most number of spoons on the body or spin a basketball on a toothbrush the longest? And we've got some photos for this one.
Okay.
So this guy spun a basketball on a freaking toothbrush for 1:18.58. Oh, my God. Like 1:08.15. What does that mean?
One.
And this guy had
that wasn't
79 spoons on his body.
Are these people in jail or are they?
I don't know, but he had 79 spoons on his body.
It looks. Which
of those would you attempt?
I don't reckon your neck would hold up, would it? Spinning the bar. Well, I reckon that's meant to be 1 hour and 8 seconds. Don't you?
Yeah,
reckon?
It was weird the way.
Yeah,
it was written.
I reckon that was meant to be 1 hour and 8 seconds. So,
I reckon someone's balancing a basketball on a toothbrush for 1 hour.
Well, when a minute doesn't seem long enough.
No, I feel like I could fluke a minute.
Yeah,
on a toothbrush.
I feel like for a Guinness World Record,
which is in his mouth.
Minute's too short.
I think I could fluke.
Yeah, I'm going the spoons. I'm going to stand there and try and clamp some spoons to myself.
Okay. I think it sounds pretty cool, though, that I can spin the basketball the longest in the world rather than I can get enough spoons.
No, it is cooler, but don't you think a minute sounds too short for a world record?
1 minute. Yeah. I agree.
But it's not about it's what you have to introduce yourself as, right?
Yeah.
So I'd rather introduce myself as the basketball spinner than the.
Embarrassing that you're only going to say I only did it.
Every time you meet someone, you're going to go, oh, by the way, I can fit the most spoons on my body.
It's like I did something for a minute.
But
I can fit the most spoons on my body?
I'm going the spoons.
I'm going the spoons too. 1 minute's just no good. All right, that's going to do us this week. It's a big, 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 big show. Hope you've enjoyed it, Dave. Good luck. All the Eastern, the whole Eastern Seaboard is in lockdown. So make sure you be safe. I think so. We're flat. Hey, but the best thing you can do is go and get vaccinated. Yes. I went and got my vaccine. Richo's got yours. Pfizer. Brandy's an anti-vaxxer.
He's booked in.
I'm booked in.
So just go and get it done. The quicker you get it done, the quicker we're out of this crap. We don't ever, ever have to mention lockdown again. Good luck on the punt. Most importantly, gamble responsibly.